Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tillman, the 10 continues. Hour number two. The phone number, 800-222-5222. We got some great tickets for the news quiz today. Not that we don't always have great tickets, but Kansas at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza, a great group. And then Lil Steven from, of course, Bruce Springsteen's band, and the Disciples of Soul at the Orpheum. He's got a big band with him with saxophones and trumpets and backing vocals, baritone sax, two organ players, a piano. He's got three keyboards, three drummers, multiple guitars. Should be an amazing show. I'm going to be at that one. I love Lil Steven. So I'll tell you when to call for that. I want to welcome Arnold Steinberg, political analyst, author of the forthcoming book, Whiplash, From JFK to Donald Trump, A Political Odyssey. And Arnold has helped with many, many political campaigns and strategy. And I'm curious, Arnold, the pushback that the president got after the murder, after this poor woman was run down and thankfully 20 were injured, but thankfully no more died this weekend in Virginia. The president's restrained response, and then the pushback from even members of his own GOP, and then 2 days later today, the response that did single out or at least call out the KKK and other groups in saying they will not be tolerated. What do you think, as a political analyst, what do you think is going on there? And then the end of that is you saw the Scaramucci interview where Scaramucci, who obviously is Trump's friend, kind of threw Steve Bannon on the bus when asked if he was a white nationalist. Go, well, let me just play it, and then we can jump in. Kind of hedged his bet. You could drive a truck through the pause, and then here's what he said.
There are elements of the alt-right. I mean, people are not going to like me saying this. There are elements of the alt-right that I think have actually been quite beneficial. Steve Bannon is a great speechwriter. I could hear a lot of Steve Bannon's words in some of the speeches. But the overall overwhelming sentiment of this nonsense of white nationalism, white supremacy, all of this sort of nonsense, it's not really representative of America. It's not really representative of the American experiment or the ideals. It could be an America of yesteryear, but if you look at the constitutional principles that were laid out, we started the country with an original sin, an original stain of slavery. Women didn't have the right to vote. This has been one of the most forward-thinking, socially progressive societies in the world, and it's a beacon of hope for the rest of mankind. And so that nonsense that's representative of the alt-right, I don't like at all.
Is Steve Bannon the white nationalist, the white supremacist interview?
You know, I don't know. I mean, I've never sat down with Steve Bannon and said, hey, are you a white nationalist or a white supremacist? But I think the toleration of it by Steve Bannon is inexcusable.
So what's going on, Arnold? It's very interesting. Scaramucci is a friend of Donald Trump's. And that statement says a lot.
Sure. Look, if you're really a friend of the president, you really want to help, you don't really publicly speak ill of anybody. You let the president exercise his prerogative to dismiss people. Secondly, you know, by leaving open whether he's a white nationalist, that is Steve Bannon is, or supremacist, is basically catering to the left and the critics of the president that alleges a sort of secret conspiracy, undertone, degrading kind of approach to getting sort of bad people to support you. The reality is Trump probably lost more votes in the election than gained when any of this was mentioned because it dissuaded some people from voting for him. The number of people in this country who are white supremacist, nationalist, bigot is very, very low. And they're getting more attention than they deserve. And, you know,
they
love it because they don't have anything going. I mean, David Duke is a nothing. He's a media creation. The media keeps him alive. He doesn't have some strong organization. There's not some forthright.
But what happens when they show up at a rally like this with pro-Trump signs and try to attach them to the president's agenda to get credibility? It hurts if you don't denounce them right away. And I'm curious, if you were in the White House, wouldn't you have said to the president?
Well, first of all, this is White House 101. You know, you have a news conference on Saturday scheduled on Veterans Administration. Some news breaks. You have a traveling White House. He's in New Jersey. And this really gets at the responsibilities of the chief of staff, this military guy, which is how do you improvise? This is a guy who's used to crisis management, and there is no improvisation. If you had a communication director, he'd be involved. Fortunately, Scaramucci was not there. And so it's an automatic, easy thing. You get up and you abbreviate your Veterans Administration statement, and you use that as a segue. You start talking about the veterans, how much they served. You get into World War II, and you just say, and then the president appears to be very intimate, very personal, even if he's reading from a text. And he says, you know, standing here today, and I think about our veterans who served all the war, and the one ones who fought the Nazis, and I see this swastika, and I'm repulsed, I'm ready to throw up, and you get the moral indignation. In answering your question clinically, I don't want to make light of the fact somebody was killed. This is a terrible situation, but I'm answering how it should be done.
And they did, and they didn't. And why do you think that is with Kelly in there, that he didn't take control and say, here's how we respond to this?
I think that as bright as he is, as much of a crisis manager, he's not quite oriented toward PR and press and immediate communications there. And this probably was delegated. If you had a Richard Nixon, who people used to deprecate, the fact is he had an organized White House, and this would have gone through. And there's always, you would have called the chief speechwriter, who either would have personally responded if it were important, or got somebody. And there's always a White House speechwriter on call at any given time, day or night.
So knowing that that didn't happen, that process, which is politically historic, I mean, that's how this happens, then things immediately go into place, and you make sure the president's protected and says what should be happening.
And then maybe he doesn't follow through, but you certainly wouldn't have to get out there and talk about, well, the economy is great, so I don't understand why we have racists.
Okay, so the next question is, when you hear Scaramucci, has access to the president, pretty close to the president, close enough that he was a communications director for a minute.
But probably not anymore, because everything is going through the chief of staff.
Okay, but a minute and a half he was, knows how the inside operates. It's pretty damning to say that about Bannon. And then, Arnold, I'm hearing and reading pieces about the fact that they're going to go lowbrow and try and show that McMaster is an alcoholic because Trump hates alcohol. And you got the Bannon faction fighting the McMaster faction, while we got North Korea, while we got Charlottesville. Is that turmoil underplayed, overplayed? What's going on in the White House at this point?
You know, Howard used to surround himself by Mormons because he didn't want anybody drinking or doing anything like that. That's not the case in this White House. I think the reason why the attacks on McMaster haven't worked thus far is because of his reputation, and he's seen as an honest broker. But remember that the current chief of staff quite properly is, as the chief of staff, the paper flow and the meetings all go through him now. So you have the constituency that would like to get McMaster out, and they're not really getting through to the president of the United States. And you have that alliance.
But the tension, while you have a military agenda, I mean, this is interesting. Sam Nunberg, who I guess was a former Trump advisor.
A long list of former Trump advisors.
A longtime ally served as a campaign advisor, said during an interview with the Daily Caller, he accused National Security Advisor General McMaster and conservative media giant Matt Drudge of trying to push out Chief White House Advisor Steve Bannon. And he says, and I don't know how credible, how big this is, if Steve is fired by the White House and a bunch of generals take over the White House, there will be hell to pay. He went out to call out Drudge for promoting hit pieces of Bannon and sharing articles that shine a favorable light on Trump's advisor and son-in-law, Jared Kushner. Matt should go back to his hobble hole in Miami and listen to techno.
Yeah, you know, all this is sort of the inside the beltway. Nobody cares. Who cares about what Matt Drudge is doing and all these plots? The fact of the matter is that when Scaramucci on network TV yesterday says, well, Bannon's a pretty good speechwriter, that's a put-down, because Bannon doesn't see himself as writing speeches. He sees himself as the master strategist. And in many ways, he was responsible for the Trump vision, although the president himself has denigrated that, because he denigrates everybody who says they had a...
But if you saw the McMaster interview, too, McMaster was asked by...
Several times he was asked about Bannon.
And you worked with Bannon, and he refused to mention Bannon by name.
Right. He easily could have taken a more generalist kind of an approach there. So that was a conscious decision.
So what does that tell you?
It's clear that he's not happy with Bannon. I think for lots of reasons. One is that Bannon has kind of a broad portfolio, and a military guy like this chief of staff is looking for each person to be in their box and their niche there, and Bannon's been all over the place.
All right, so moving forward from this weekend's event and how that will be handled, with Sessions saying it will be investigated, you got a September coming up that one Politico, the headline was Trump aides predicting brutal September. There are factions who say we should let go of health care for right now and move to something else. They got the debt limit to work. They've got so many things to get done in a very short period of time, and you have different factions that are fighting for agendas.
There's another thing that is that we're getting into that, losing that window where all these insurance companies, when they're planning what they're going to do for the next calendar year, they send out all their stuff in October, November, December, and so on. So we're getting that window where even if something meritorious were passed, it would be hard to implement.
You're exactly right. So how does the president, who's impatient, in calling out McConnell, what's McConnell going to look like coming back? He's not going to be able to get health care done in a week and a half or tax reform.
No, and, you know, you can't hold McConnell accountable for John McCain and people like that who kind of go to their own drummer there. And the fact is that all McConnell can do is deliver some votes. The fact is that the Republicans never conceived an alternative to Obamacare. And you could say, well, they should just repeal it, and that's fine. But, you know, you had Trump, the one had saying on the first day he's going to repeal it, and then kept saying then thereafter he's going to replace it with something even better.
He's going to distance himself from any failures. And
from all failures. But the fact remains he didn't have a honeymoon. He's doing nothing to broaden the base. And, you know, we have really profoundly serious issues like North Korea. And so I know that average people would say, what does this Saturday sure have to do with North Korea? What it has to do with is that you want to, as President of the United States, if you were to get an intelligence report, for example, that said that the North Koreans are going into the bunkers because they're about to attack, and you intercepted transmissions, and you did a preemptive strike, and you went on national television, you'd want people to believe you. You wouldn't want them things contrived. And so when you lose credibility and all these other things, it affects that. And that really is the broader answer to your question, that this president ought to be concerned with his poll numbers and his credibility in case he has to put himself in the line.
Let's talk to Richard in Santa Monica real quick. Richard, you're on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Thanks for calling in. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, Peter, you know, I think this is really blown out by the news media about Trump, about the American people have the nonsense of memory of a gnat. He's already denounced the KKK in his administration. You know, they're almost putting this in front of them like, you know, this is part of you, and it's not. And, you know, as far as the answer of slavery in America and stuff like that, all civilizations is, you know, even the Jews that were enslaved by the Egyptians, that is not, we have accomplished, you know, over that. And another thing, it's the American Constitution doesn't allow murder in anarchy that just happened. And the president stands behind that. There's no doubt in your mind you shouldn't. Twice.
So why the pushback and why did members of the GOP come out and say he should have been more forceful about this and just disavowed? Remember, here's the history too, is back when David Duke came out and made comments about endorsing the president, if you vote against the president, et cetera. And they tried to nail him down about David Duke and the KKK. And he said, I'm not aware of the group. Tell me what the groups are, and I will disavow them. I think that the narrative got bigger because it became more complicated than just saying, hey, I'm on the right side of this. There's no room for the KKK. There's no room for this.
I hate to interrupt you, but you got to look at the history of the president, of all our presidents. They have a personality. And our president actually owned a casino. So how can you be prejudiced owning a casino? That's where everybody, try to win.
I'll take everybody's money.
This caller should be White House.
Right. You know what?
How can you possibly be prejudiced?
Arnold just said that you should stop while you're ahead. You just had the best point ever.
You took
money from everybody. You should be the White House communication director.
Understandable. Yet.
That was the best. By the way, I gotta go. But that was the best. That was the best spin ever. That you can't, right, Arnold?
That's right. I've been in the casino business. How could I be prejudiced?
I've taken money. I've bankrupted black people, white people, senior citizens, people who are blind. I take money from
people with families, single people.
That's a commercial. That's a commercial.
I have real diversity in my casinos.
You should show all the people in a commercial.
Multiculturalism
in
the casinos.
At a casino.
Democrats, Republicans, independents.
I don't even know where to go from there. That was so good. So where do we go now? What is going to happen? What's his first order of business going to be when the break is over for the Congress, when they come back and they got to work? What is he going to try and get accomplished, and how quickly is he going to be able to do it?
I think he's going to have to try to go back to what presidents do, which is to have a working congressional liaison office there where he does not simply bark orders and complain about the personalities who are leading his party there, but is willing to actually go get involved in policy. And so far, we haven't seen that. And this chief of staff is going to have to recognize that. Now, he has reached out even to Democrats there, but I don't know if they have a plan.
And another big issue that we should talk about another day that's going to be a major issue is marijuana politics in the 2020. Do you notice the Democrats don't have a platform? They don't have a person yet, but they're all lining up now to be the first. No. They're all lining up to be the pot guy because they're looking at Sessions, who's the anti-pot guy. And that
right,
could
and
be,
that's
that could
how
be,
the time the Times, LA Times headline was that Sessions was not high on pot.
That's great. Almost as good a headline as I take from ever.
But the reality is this is one of those great subtle things that you have Republicans in Congress led by a California member of Congress, Dana Rohrabacher, who are favoring legalization, decriminalization of marijuana, and who in the principle of conservatism and federalism don't want the federal government interfering with California and other states.
And,
there's a lot of conservatives and libertarians in Congress who have opposed the war on drugs, think it's not working. So Sessions really is out of tune.
Understood, and it could really hurt. The marijuana issue could be an enormous issue because it's an easy issue to explain. It's an easy issue to find out where people stay, how they stand on it. And 61% of Americans now, according to the latest poll, are in favor of legalization. So what's going to happen with this marijuana issue as far as it going to be a definitive issue?
Well, you know, Jared Kushner has a very, very full plate, but on that plate is decriminalization, is criminal justice reform. And so I think that for Sessions to, now they've all leaving Sessions in the job because they're afraid it's going to be an issue connected with Russia. But there's going to be increasing pressure on Sessions really to come closer toward what has become a more conservative view.
But he's out there saying it. He's already out. Yeah, I know. But, so he's definitive on this. This doesn't sound like he's going to water it down or back
and
down.
You have very, very socially conservative senators like Mike Lee from Utah and others there who basically are very skeptical of the war on drugs and basically, you know, want to see some criminal justice reform.
And I'll tell you, this is where the Democrats see an opening. They see daylight here. Give us the ball, coach, and put us in because this is something we can beat them on in a younger generation, and a good part
right.
of it.
This is another lost opportunity for Trump, who doesn't really understand where American conservatism is going.
100%, this is a huge issue. So I think this could be one of the bigger issues.
Well, what he doesn't basically understand is the conservatives believe in a balance between order and liberty, but they want a minimum of order, as little order as you can have that's necessary, but not too much order.
Prediction before you leave with 20 seconds left to go. Steve Bannon stay in the White House, or will he lose the battle eventually?
I think if he stays, it's with reduced access and reduced power. Otherwise, he leaves. And if he stays, it's because the president fears him on the outside.
Arnold Steinberg, political analyst, author of the forthcoming book Whiplash, From JFK to Donald Trump, A Political Odyssey. Always a pleasure. 800-222-5222 is the phone number. Peter Tilden at 10 continues. Hour number two. You know what's coming. Kansas, dust in the wind. Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza. They'll be there September 13th, and you will too if you win the news quiz. Or you can see Little Stephen and the Disciples of Soul at the Orpheum on October 19th. Talk Radio 790 KBC. Thank you. Dino saw that I hit the post. I'll still do that. Arnold Steinberg, I asked him to stay for a couple more minutes because I want to ask you one more thing, Arnold, that I forgot to bring up. And that's that I'm hearing the Koch brothers are not supporting the president, but they are very supportive of Vice President Pence. When we heard that there may be a shadow campaign, and Pence denied it as far as 2020, if something should happen and the president doesn't run again or whatever, they're very powerful. And they are also for justice reform, judicial reform.
Yeah, a lot of people misunderstand that the Koch brothers are very, very libertarian. They're not social conservatives here. And they believe in free trade. The president does not. And they believe in free trade even if it harms their corporate interests. They oppose all government subsidies for favoritism for any of their companies. And on criminal justice reform, they have been the principal donors or funders of criminal justice reform, including, reconsidering draconian drugs.
So they're not happy with
Sessions.
Sessions,
no,
at
not,
all.
Not at all. In fact, when I was at the Libertarian Freedom Fest conference, the name Sessions was booed there.
So how does everything kind of fall together in the sense that Sessions, we're talking about the marijuana thing, which is, can alienate a lot of voters. And then you're talking about funding.
Yeah,
support.
Well, again, as I mentioned earlier, the main legislation in Congress for reform and marijuana laws and backing medicinal marijuana is via Republican Dana Rohrabacher. And this is a natural for Trump because the Veterans Administration has been prescribing these opiates, these painkillers that Trump says is a problem, and they are a problem there. And I have seen anecdotal evidence that post-traumatic stress syndrome, these people come out with the terrible combat, profound effects on their brain, on their well-being, on their psychology, and their ability to function, can be helped with medicinal marijuana.
So is there something, is there a movement that the Koch brothers are?
Yeah, I mean, the Koch brothers are continuing to be working with Republicans in the Senate and the House on the Judiciary Committee and those that are dealing with reform there, as are a lot of libertarians. You also have the Christian right. This goes all the way back to Chuck Colson and the Christian prison ministry that's deeply involved materially, substantially, financially, personnel, with working in the prisons for criminal justice reform.
And how does that jive with what the president's trying to accomplish?
It's very much at odds with the Justice Department under Jeff Sessions.
So
many people don't realize this.
Well, that's why I wanted to bring it up. So there's a huge disconnect.
And you have Jared Kushner, who's very much on the opposite side, and who... He and his team, those who are helping Jared Kushner in the White House, were shocked when Attorney General Sessions several months ago instructed all the U.S. attorneys, each U.S. attorney in each office in the United States, to go back to draconian punishments and mandatory minimums and drugs there. And we thought we were getting away from that there. And that took Kushner and his people by surprise.
Arnold, thanks for staying and pointing that out, because I forgot to mention the Koch brothers and Pence and their effect right now, and Sessions, and how he's being perceived as far as not only the marijuana, but as far as redoing the Justice Department in a whole different way that doesn't jive with a lot of supporters. 800-222-5222. Talk Radio 790 KBC. We'll be back right after the news.
KABC News live and local at 11:31. I'm Jeff Whittle. In a statement from the White House today, President Trump condemned the KKK, neo-Nazis, and white supremacists, and said racism is evil. 2 days after an Ohio man allegedly rammed his car into a crowd of counter-protesters during a white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, killing a woman, injuring 19 others.
No matter the color of our skin, we all live under the same laws. We all salute the same great flag. And we are all made by the same Almighty God.
The wildfire that erupted between Riverside and Moreno Valley yesterday afternoon and came dangerously close to homes and prompted several evacuations is only 30% contained, but all evacuation orders were lifted last night. Moreno Valley resident Melody Cox tells NBC4 News her property's covered in fire retardant after yesterday's aerial drops.
I have a pink house now, in the back especially, but it looks kind of pretty, matches my roses, but again, I'm blessed because I was able to come back home to a house.
Officials say that fire retardant is safe. It's just hard to wash off. That so-called Blaine fires burned a total of 1,044 acres. Do you love football more than your kids?
That's the question that concussion doctor Bennett Amalu, who famously first linked CTE to football, is asking in his new book, Truth Doesn't Have a Side. Dr. Amalu says that children under the age of 18 should avoid high-impact sports that he says have 100% risk of exposure to brain damage.
The big six are American football, ice hockey, mixed martial arts, rugby, boxing, and wrestling.
Dr. Amalu was a guest on McIntyre in the Morning. I'm Randy Wang, KBC Sports.
And this news report is brought to you by Sam Nation. Tune in weekdays at 7 p.m. Talk Radio 790 KABC Sports. Dodgers dump San Diego 6-4 for L.A.'s 48th victory in their last 56 games. They have the best record in baseball. Now, the Angels beat Seattle 4-2, and the Halos have won 6 in a row. Seahawks embarrassed the Chargers 48-17 last night in Carson, but the Rams got by the Cowboys 13-10 Saturday night at the Coliseum, and Justin Thomas won the PGA Championship for his first major title. That's sports on the home of the L.A. Kings, 790 KABC. Traffic, a market check, weather, and more till at 10 next. KBC News time is 11:30.
Little Steven, listen to that sound. He's got 16 people in his band. It's him, the Disciples of Soul at the Orpheum. I got tickets to that. I also have tickets to Kansas, the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza. We do the news quiz. I would call now, 800-222-5222. I see the phone starting to light up already. 800-222-5222. And we'll play the news quiz in just a moment, but if you're sending your kids to school, know this, because we got back to school. As a matter of fact, I think some schools just started, right? I think some schools just started this week, believe it or not. But even with a new law that boosted kindergarten vaccination rates, hundreds of schools across California still have so many children lacking full immunization that they pose an increased risk of disease outbreaks. Great. At nearly 750 schools, 90% or fewer kindergartners had been fully vaccinated. And the problem with that is they say the rate should be at least 95% to prevent the spread of diseases. So the deal is they passed that law, SB 277. It was approved in 2015 about that measles outbreak. Remember, it happened at Disneyland? And what the law bars is parents from citing religious or personal beliefs to excuse their children from immunizations. But you can go to a doctor and get a note saying you had a medical reason to not get the shots. And I'm thinking that that is what happened. Because doctors are saying that usually, at most, 3% of people have a medical reason for not tolerating vaccines. Like they have a gelatin allergy or you have chemo or some other medical problem. The LA Times found at 58 schools, 10% instead of 3%, 10% or more kindergartners had medical exemptions than last fall. The rate topped 20% at 7 schools. That is not a good thing. The 20% having medical exemptions is nonsense. And we're going to start seeing stuff coming back again because parents are not taking their kids to be vaccinated because this stuff, the information got out there, misinformation got out there. And they're probably asking doctors to vouch that their children have medical reasons to avoid the stuff so that they can get around, skirt around the law. So thank you very much. The new school's beginning. You got a higher number of unvaccinated kids and we're going to be at risk. So I can't believe we have generations of diseases that go away. We eradicate them. And I'm going to see what? We're going to start seeing polio in 5 years at schools again and iron lungs because of vaccination rates. It's absurd. It's insane. The other thing I want to talk about before we do the contest that made me kind of laugh is that Suge Knight and his attorney, Matthew Fletcher, accused of attempting to orchestrate witness bribery. This guy, is there any area where this guy comes clean and doesn't have a problem? He's got his murder trial. And apparently the Los Angeles District Attorney's Office based the allegations on a series of prison phone calls between Knight and his lawyers. I remember reading an article over the weekend that said the lawyer was outraged because he said, how do you find out what I'm saying to my client? Isn't there attorney-client privilege? But I think they were allowed to listen into conversations when it was more than just the attorney on the line. Because once you have other people on the line chiming in, and willing to do stuff and listening, guess what? The attorney-client privilege goes out the door. According to transcripts released by the prosecution, Knight, Fletcher, and Knight's fiancé and business partner Mark Blankenship had an understanding that they were going to assist the defendant in procuring witnesses for his defense, which included payments for fabricated testimonies. Can you imagine coming up to you and going, hey, dude, so all I'm asking you to do for $500 is go into court and testify about something that didn't happen? Who's going to do that? Who is going to do that? Unless you got something on me where I'm going to prison, there's no way. How much money are you paying me to go into court and testify? They had recorded prison conversations. Fletcher allegedly discussed paying witnesses money to supply false testimony. I'll pay anything if we can get the 2 or 3 versions from the bikers on tape, Fletcher said. It's going home time. That's a fair investment, you know? Oh, wow. I didn't. $25,000. Now we're talking. All of a sudden, Dino perked up. Dino, $25,000, would you lie? Would you testify in court? Remember, how many U2 concerts is that for $25,000? Yeah, all of a sudden, Dino's making faces like, what? Yeah, that's one with merchandise and all that stuff for Dino. But amazing that they actually had money to pay. How much does Suge Knight have that they can afford $25,000 to pay somebody? And that I don't think that ever goes well. When you fake testimony and get paid, really nobody knows that money is going into your account and somebody that didn't have $25,000 on a Monday now has $25,000 on a Friday but just testified. Never ends well. Well, it didn't even get to the beginning because they caught it and they ended up taping it and shutting it down. So pretty amazing. Suge Knight, I think he's going to be in there for quite some time. I have a feeling he's going to be in prison for a bit. All right, Talk Radio 790 KBC. We got some players. If you want to play for Kansas tickets or tickets for Little Steven and the Disciples of Soul, call now 800-222-5222. Talk Radio 790 KABC. Peter Tilden 10, hour number 2 continues. And it's time for our news quiz. Let's go to the phones and let's see. Let's pick Mike in Brea. You're on Talk Radio 790 KBC. Good morning.
Hey, Peter. Great to be here.
Great to have you here. What do you do, Mike?
I am parts management.
Okay, so you manage parts and sell parts. What, a car dealership or?
No, sir. I work at a bus tour.
Oh, okay.
Tour buses.
Make sure everything runs right. Well, good for you. What's the number one place that people want to tour when they come out here?
Las Vegas.
All right, so there you go. That makes sense. You ready to do this? Multiple choice, true and false? You know how it goes.
I know how to play, and I know the code. I mean, I know how to play.
All right, listen carefully. On average, how many other Starbucks stores are located within a one-mile radius of a Starbucks store? Is it 1.4? Is it 3.6? Or is it there's already a Starbucks inside the bathroom of my local Starbucks? Is it A, B, or C?
That's a tough one, but I'm going to say B.
It is B. Starbucks cafes are facing mounting competition from other Starbucks locations. The joke is one is going to move in my living room in about a week. In the aftermath of violence over the weekend in Charlottesville, Virginia, web hosting company GoDaddy announced what? A, a donation to the Southern Poverty Law Center. B, they will no longer host neo-Nazi website The Daily Stormer. Or C, that hacking group Anonymous had hacked their website. Is it A, B, or C?
Holy smokes, Peter, that's another tough one. I'm going to go with B.
Yes, you're correct. A top U.S. military officer said Monday the United States wants peacefully resolving the deepening standoff with North Korea, but also ready to use the full range of its military capabilities. And I don't know why that's in there, but thank you. who was injured over the weekend during filming of Mission Impossible 6? I just did the story. Was it A, hero Tom Cruise, B, villain Javier Bardem, or C, why are they making another Mission Impossible movie? Is it A, B, or C?
Ouch, Peter, you're tough today. I'm going to guess A.
It is. Tom Cruise hit the building hard that he was supposed to jump to, and I guess he couldn't make it. You know why? Because he's not a superhero. He's Tom Cruise, and he's 55.
He didn't hit it hard enough.
Wow, that's not nice. Applebee's announced last week that the restaurant chain is what? A, introducing a new bacon and ranch dressing smoothie. B, an awesome place to meet singles. Or C, closing up to 135 locations.
Holy smokes, I'm going to guess again with C.
The Glendale, California-based parent of Applebee's restaurant said Thursday that as many as 135 locations could close throughout the fiscal year. According to a poll by the nonpartisan Kaiser Family Foundation, a majority of Americans want the government to stop trying to repeal and replace Obamacare. Is that true or is it false? True or false?
I'm going to go with the truth.
Around 4 in 5 want the Trump administration to take actions that help Obama's law function properly. And a 100-year-old what was recently found in Antarctica? Was it A, a case of scotch, B, a super penguin, or C, fruitcake? A, B, or C?
Wow. Fruitcake.
Wrapped in paper and remains of a tin, the fruitcake is in excellent condition, according to the trust, and looks and smells almost edible, which is just like new fruitcake. And your last question, one of the biggest astronomical events of the decade happens soon, which is, it's coming up very soon. A, the planetary alignment. B, the Perseids meteor shower. Or C, the American total solar eclipse. Is it A, is it B, or is it C?
I'm going to pull a rabbit out of the hat, Peter. I'm going with C.
I like you, and I like the way you answer. August 21st will be visible along a narrow path of totality that runs from Oregon to South Carolina. Tens of millions of people are expected to travel into the path to view the event. You make a little eclipse box. Remember that in school? They taught you how to make an eclipse box with a little hole and a mirror and the whole deal? That's one way to look at it, and I'll teach you how to do it as we get closer. Hey, man, congratulations. You sound like a good guy, and you won some tickets. Stay in line. You get either Kansas or Little Stephen and the Disciples of Soul at the Orpheum. Thanks for playing. Talk Radio 790 KPC. We'll be back with Dr. Drew and Crosstalk right after this.